Yes, that line forms on the right rails. Not that Maggie.
Where is he? Where is he?
Back in town.
The Fan. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. I got you for the next 4 hours as we take you to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. on this Monday morning. We got Fleegs on the other side, and it's me and you again for the next 4 hours right here on The Fan. And today is, this is it now. You know, I spent a lot of time, I was on Saturday getting all hyped up for that game. I was more hyped up. You were more hyped up than the New York Knicks were, right? And to me, the game is easy to flush. The game is easy to flush. There's a lot of different things about the game. The amount of threes hit. They're shooting 65%. All the talk of the 25% shooting during the first two games and all the missed threes, they came out, the Boston Celtics, that is, as they obviously just dominated game number three at Madison Square Garden, 115-93. And, you know, the game, obviously very frustrating, but it's the effort from the New York Knicks, because I know I was on Saturday, I did the show Thursday, Friday after all this, and I was fed up with the idea that the Knicks had to win game three. I didn't love the idea that we were afraid to lose a game to the Boston Celtics. So much talk about, don't let them off the floor, don't let them get a breath of fresh air, don't let them gain momentum, you're trying to beat the champs, you got to keep them down. If this happens, like, I get it. And I still trust this Knicks group, and I trust them to show up tonight, game number four. But what bothers me the most about game number three, and there's a lot of things, and we'll get into the basketball nature of it, because again, we saw the same kind of thing that happened over the first two games, but this game, and I understand that, because to me, it's one thing for me to say it, and it's obvious. The Celtics were the more desperate team in that game. They were going into it, they were more desperate, and obviously how they played, they were more desperate. And it's one thing for me to say it. It's one thing for me to say, hey, I trust this Knicks, it's okay. Even if they lose this game, they're still up 2-1. We'd be dancing in the streets if you told us at the start of this season series that they'd be up 2-1. Everyone would sign for it. That is a massive victory for the New York Knicks to be up 2-1 after three, considering how we felt about this series heading in. But the idea that they came out and played in the manner in which they played the entire game was embarrassing. And then you're listening to Jalen Brunson, who is honest. Jalen Brunson, who I understand that we all trust, that we all love, and he's become this superstar before our eyes, and he's the king of New York and all of that. Like, but to hear him say that somewhere deep, you can't deny that there was some sort of level of complacency in being up 2-0. And that's what's frustrating about it, because I can tell you all day long they don't need to win the game. They needed to come out and treat it as if they needed to win the game. But there is a level that you can't match. We talked about it, and that's why the game, I'll be totally honest with you, is somewhat easy to flush for me. I'm disappointed in how they came out, and certainly, and we'll get into this a lot as we move forward into tonight, they've got to be better offensively. Like, I know the Celtics hit an ungodly number of threes, and they were shooting at 65% at one point. And I do think that the defense in this game, if you watch it, I watched a bunch of clips, I went back and watched the game, they were not as good on the perimeter. Specifically, Karl Anthony Towns off switches was not getting out on the perimeter the same way he was. OG Anunoby, who has now scored 7 points, seven in the first two games, in the last two games here for the New York Knicks. Like, I know they hit a bunch of threes. I know the Celtics and then took their foot off the gas pedal as they're obviously blowing the game away. But 115, that's what I expected the Celtics to come out and score. This team all year, I know they've upped it up defensively. I know in the fourth quarter and in overtime, we have seen the wing play of OG Anunoby, who's focusing his entire focus right now, seems to be on the defensive side of the ball. We know Mikal Bridges has stepped up his game. Karl Anthony Towns, what Mitch Robinson has meant to this team, and we'll get into his free throws because it's hard to watch. It's hard to even look at the screen when he's shooting threes, when he's shooting free throws and airballing them. I know the defensive effort that they've put forth, especially late in the games here, to turn 20-point deficits into victories in the first two games of the series. But this Knicks team was built all year long on its offense. And I know we question their toughness and we wondered how, you know, on nights where the threes don't fall or, you know, the inability to put forth offensive performances against the better teams. And we talked about so much about the Celtics and against the Cavaliers, who are now on death's door here in their series as they fell 3-1, 3-1 to the Pacers. But so much was made about whether or not this team that wasn't a Tibbs team, right? It wasn't, we weren't sure about its toughness. We weren't sure about its defensive mentality. We weren't sure about whether or not they could perform defensively in a series like this. And for the most part, I understand that it wasn't a great game defensively. They didn't do anything particularly well in game number three. But they have got to find a way to start this game with more urgency than they started game number three. And they've got to find a way to be more offensively proficient throughout the entire game and not just the 4 minutes. Where is Jalen Brunson at the start of these games? Because I understand he's the best closer in the league. And nothing that we have seen in this series changes that. In fact, it enhances it in the first two games of the series. But we talked about it over and over. You cannot continue to fall behind. And to come out with the effort they came out with in game three is maddening. It's frustrating. But ultimately, again, I trust this team. I do. And after a lousy performance where it got out of hand, the threes were falling, the Celtics were the desperate team. So much of this is based on desperation. The Knicks were desperate to take one of two in Boston. They were able to get the first one, and then they were able to make the game close again, and the Celtics collapsed in game number two the same way they did in game number one. But you knew coming out in game three that you were going to get a Celtic team with everything on the line, a defending champion who is desperate for a win to save their season, to save the embarrassment of possibly losing this series. They needed that game more than the Knicks. I was saying it for days. Everyone was trying to tell me, no, the Knicks needed just as badly as the Celtics. It's impossible. It's impossible. The Celtics clearly needed it more than the Knicks, and it showed up. Tonight is different. Tonight is the game the Knicks have to start with an urgency that we haven't seen yet in this series. Tonight is the night the Knicks can't afford to fall behind. Tonight is the night where I need more from this team offensively. Even, and I'm talking Jalen Brunson. I know Karl Anthony Towns has an injury to his thumb. I understand it. He's clearly hunched over with pain. He's got to be better offensively. He's got to be tougher around the rim. He's got to finish at the basket. And OG Anunoby, who was that guy who stood in for Jalen Brunson through his ankle injury and had 7 or 8 straight games of 25-point performances, he scores 2 points in game number three. He scores 5 points in game number two. This is one of the best offensive teams in the NBA, and they have been so all year long. And we have not seen a single game in this series, despite the heroics, despite the second halves, despite the fourth quarters, and despite overtime in game number one. We have not seen a single offensive performance the likes that they are capable of, and we saw time and time again all season long. This is a game, I know we focus so much defensively, and the Boston Celtics came out, hit some open shots. I defensively, they were worse in this game, but still, you knew the Celtics were going to come out. This is who they are. They come out, they take a million shots. They were falling for them in game number three. I do not expect them to shoot at a 60% clip like they did in game number three. I don't. They shot, and they end up shooting 50. But, I mean, when the game was in the balance and being decided in the first half and maybe even early third quarter, they were shooting 65% at one point. As much as we don't expect 25%, I certainly don't expect 65%. But more than anything, and we'll get into it as we get through the show, 888-808-1019, about how to handle Mitch Robinson. Maybe shake. I just heard with Lori. I think it's an interesting idea. I've been talking about the double bigs and the matchup problems that it presents for the Boston Celtics, playing Karl-Anthony Towns and playing Mitch Robinson on the floor at the same time. I'm open to finding out. I mean, this comes down to the Knicks' effort. It comes down to Tibbs finding a way to adjust, because defensively, not the best of game number three, but I still, the effort on the defensive side of the ball has pretty much been there for this series, and particularly late in games. And even if it hasn't been, it hasn't been what this team has relied on all year. This has to be a game where they come out with a sense of urgency, because this is must win. I know the last couple days I've been talking about game number three wasn't a must win. I trust this Knicks team. This is a series. They're the defending champs. You're not going to, you know, cakewalk through this series. There's going to be a moment where the momentum shifts. There's going to be a moment where the Celtics, defending champs, show up and make their presence felt. That was game number three. But this is different. This is now game number four, and you cannot squander a 2-0 lead. You cannot squander the momentum they had to start this series, and you cannot go back to Boston for a game number five, allowing the Celtics to come into your building and evening up this series at two. This is a game, and I was listening to Lori and her guest. This is a game that both teams need. This is a game that this is must win for both teams. The Celtics can't afford to fall behind 3-1, and the Knicks can't afford to lose both games at home. They need to be far better in this building. I can't explain why they've been so much of a better road team in this postseason. I can't explain how they're 5-0 on the road and have one victory at Madison Square Garden and have now lost three in a row at MSG. And I can't explain why they didn't match the effort of the fan base, who, despite all the talk about how expensive the tickets were and how the atmosphere was in question because they're $900 tickets, the crowd was electric to start that game. And the Knicks came out in embarrassing fashion. And it's not even so much defensively, because we know they'll hit shots. They can't find a rhythm offensively. And, you know, what'd they shoot in this game? 20% from three-point land. 5 of 25. 5 of 25. OG Anunoby scores 2 points in this game. This is a game that, forget everything else, they need to come out with an effort that and a start of the game that they haven't done this entire series. Plain and simple. This is now, again, as I said, yes, Saturday, as I was on before the show, before the game, rather, this is the biggest game played at Madison Square Garden for the New York Knicks in 26 years. Now this one is the biggest game the New York Knicks have played at Madison Square Garden in the last 26 years. A quarter century since the last time we had a moment like this and an opportunity like this. And they weren't there for game number three. They have to show up for game number four. And I fully expect them to. And I said that going into game three. Look, this is a Celtic team that was desperate. This is the defending champs. They weren't going to just roll over and die for the Knicks. They started hot. The Knicks didn't match their intensity, and that's how the game went. We'll get into the different dynamics and the different things they can do and what I'm expecting from different players. But the bottom line is the New York Knicks now are a desperate team for the first time in this series. The New York Knicks can't afford to lose the game for the first time in this series. The Knicks have a must-win game ahead of them tonight for the first time in this series. And it needs to show up from the opening tip. We haven't seen that all season. I mean, all series. We just haven't. From the opening tip, they can't fall behind. They can't continue to play from behind against this Boston Celtic team. It's two miracles. You cannot expect a third. We all knew that going into game three. It's the same as game four. The Celtics were a desperate team. They made all of their threes. They blew out the New York Knicks in game number three. This series isn't over. I don't think they're doomed. Just because the Celtics have had the better of the play for a lot of this series, we have seen if the game is in the balance, I still believe in the Knicks in those moments. They have to just provide us those moments. And that means an atmosphere and a feeling and an urgency that we haven't seen so far. Tonight is the night. This is when we find out all about this team. We find out about Karl-Anthony Towns. We find out about Mikal Bridges. We find out about OG Anunoby. And yeah, we find out about Brunson, who has got to start this game better than he started every one of the other games in this series. There has to be an urgency from the jump. I told you all week after game number two, I did not view game number three as everybody else did. I did not see it as a must-win game. I did not see it as some sort of don't let the champions get their footing. Obviously, you want to close out a series as quickly as possible. Obviously, you want to win every game. Obviously, the Knicks would be in a better place right now if they were up 3-0. But to be up 3-0 against the Boston Celtics, it never felt like that was going to be the case. And this was never going to be an easy series. And it's not easy coming from down 20. And it's not easy to do it twice. And it's not easy to do it in the Garden in Boston. The New York Knicks don't need it easy. And tonight won't be. The New York Knicks need to show us who they are. And I think they did in the first two games of this series. In the second halves of those games, in the overtime of that game, they showed us who they are. They showed us who they are in the Pistons series. Tonight's another opportunity for this Knick team to show us who they are. 888-808-1019. We'll start with the Knicks. We will get to the baseball as both teams win rubber matches and win their series over the weekend. We got to continue to talk about the Mets pitching. Aaron Judge is back over 400. And Jason Dominguez's big night Friday night. So we got plenty of baseball to get to. And then also some Giants stuff as we got our first glimpses of Jackson Dart. And I got to tell you, I don't know why, and I know a lot of Giant fans might not necessarily agree with me. Every time I hear Joe Shane speak, I get more and more confident in this front office. 888-808-1019. We'll get to that too. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. I got you for the next 3+ hours as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. But tonight we start with game four. The biggest moment at Madison Square Garden since Saturday and since 1999. It's all on the table tonight. Everything. This is the first must-win game for the New York Knicks. I can't wait to see how they respond. Hopefully better than game number three. But we'll get into all the different dynamics of game number three, what we expect, some different matchups. What can Tibbs do to help change the dynamics of this series over the last first halves of the first three games? How can they come out to a better start? What can they do? How do they figure it out? It starts with their intensity. And we need it from the opening tip from the New York Knicks tonight.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I'm in a good mood. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I know a day late, but still. If you haven't gone to sleep yet, like me, it's still Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. It was a very nice weekend. I was out. My arm is hurting me with the amount of wiffle balls I threw. We were playing wiffle ball out in the back in my in-law's backyard. And looking out for bears, because apparently there's been a bear that's in their backyard every other night. But thankfully, no bear. But I'm in a good mood. And you know what? I'm positive about the Knicks. I just did it. I needed to come across with the acknowledgement that it was a disappointing effort. That the fans were there. I mean, can you imagine? I hate to, make it all about the ticket prices. But can you imagine spending the money you must have spent to get into that building to watch the Knicks from the opening tip be just absolutely demolished? Like, I can't. You leave that building after spending $900 a ticket, just like, oh my God. But for me, I'll be totally honest with you. Up 2-1. Why are we still? I'm not that disappointed. And I'm certainly not thinking that this is over. This is a game they need to win. This is a game they need to win. Even when you say must win, like, is it over? I don't know. It would be tied 2-2. If you want to beat the champs, you can't blow a 2-0 lead and have it be even again heading back to Boston. I don't think the Knicks would have a very good chance of winning this series if they don't win tonight. I think it's very likely the winner of tonight's game is the winner of the series. Like, that's how I feel about it. This is the first game I felt that way about it. I thought game one was obviously important. But to me, you flush it. You flush it. It's an ugly loss. Yes, you can point to the idea that all these games have gone that way except for the last, quarter. And that they've had these big leads in all three games. I get it. The Celtics are defending champs. They are more talented than the New York Knicks. They're better than the Knicks. But I went into game three feeling it wasn't a must win, that it was more important for the Celtics. Unfortunately, the Knicks had the same feeling. I hated hearing. Now, look, I applaud Brunson for being honest. We always kill players for not telling the truth. We always kill players for, either coach speak or just, speaking in platitudes and, make a play. Eli Manning, yeah, we're going to make more plays. Like, that's it. I appreciate a guy honestly saying, hey, look, I don't think we intended to, but subconsciously, it's hard to come out with that same intensity that the Celtics had because the Celtics are desperate and the Knicks weren't. That is a fact. We could talk all around how important game number three was. The fact of the matter was the Boston Celtics needed it. The New York Knicks didn't. Tonight, they both need it. And the Knicks have got to come out with a better effort. And all my points about being okay with losing a game number three or still trusting the Knicks is just that. I trust them. I think they've earned that trust. Despite an ugly game three, I trust they will come out with a far better effort tonight. I trust this game will be a hell of a lot closer than game number three was. I trust that this game can be weighing in the balance come the fourth quarter. And if that's the case, I still trust the Knicks to be the smarter, more mentally tough, explosive team that will find a way to win this game. I trust it. So yes, it was an ugly loss. Yes, there's really not even that much to break down. They got absolutely run out of the gym. They've got to do a better job with preventing as many open looks as they gave in game number three. And mainly, they got to do a better job of finding buckets early. But I trust them. And I'm not that upset about game number three. I think it's an easy, let's flush it, and we move on to game number four tonight for the biggest game we've seen at Madison Square Garden for the last 26 years. We could say it every game the rest of this series. And I fully expect the Knicks to come out here and play a much better game. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dan in Long Beach. What's up, Dan?
Hey. Great show, McGonagall.
Thank
you. As always. So I'm a casual Knicks fan.
Okay.
All right, at best. But tell me that these boys are not road dogs. And if it comes down to the last possession, like, I trust the Knicks.
I agree.
Like, these guys can at least, if they show up, put out game four, we keep within five in the fourth quarter, end up losing, I think we go on the road and maybe win four. all day, because the more the pressure is on the defending champs.
Yeah,
no, it is on us. And they play way better.
Of course. I said, no doubt. And thank you for the call, Dan. I agree with you. They play better on the road. They have this. They're 5-0 on the road. They're 1-3 at home. And that's kind of unacceptable. Like, they've got to be better at home. There's no doubt. They have got to be better at MSG. I have no idea why this playoff series has gone out. Like, and if even game one against the Pistons, the one win they have in this building, they weren't very good. They weren't very good. It took a 21-0 run in the fourth quarter to win that game. Like, they've got to be better in this building from the jump. I'm very disappointed in how they played at Madison Square Garden. But yeah, look, if they lose this game, is the series over? No, it's tied 2-2. And again, this would be different because they were up 2-0 and they lost both games at home. But whatever the case may be, heading into this series, I really do think most Knicks fans would have signed up for 2-2 going back to Madison Square, the Boston Garden, so bad. I think most Knicks fans would have signed for 2-2 going back to Boston for game number 5. I think most fans would have signed for that. Now, you don't sign for it up 2-0. And certainly, like, you can't let them have that kind of momentum and come into the building and ruin the series that you took from them in the first two games. And I'm looking for a better performance. And, yeah, I trust them at the end of this game. If it's close, I expect the Knicks to, you know, get the better of it. I do. But they got to keep it close. They got to keep it close. They got to do a better job of keeping this thing close in the early parts of this game. But, yeah, I trust them. And, yeah, would I think that they couldn't win game 5? Like, that's why when we say must wins and everything, it's just we're not being serious because there's only one way to have a must win. Let's be totally honest. And this isn't just trying to define the actual word must or anything. Like, but when you say it's a must win, it's really only a must win is if you lose and go home. If the Knicks lose game 4, there is game 5. And if they lose game 5, there is still game 6. This is a series. This is a series. But this one does feel different to me than game number 3. Game number 3, I didn't view it as a must win. I didn't. I didn't think, oh, well, you can't let them have any momentum. We're going to find out. Maybe, I mean, it wasn't even close enough to even determine if I was right or wrong. It's not like they blew the game or, you know, just couldn't execute late and the Celtics won a tight one. They got blown out from the jump. It was never a game. But, like, we're going to find out how the Knicks respond. Because the reason game 3 to me wasn't this must win, as so many people were telling you, is I trust this Knicks team to bounce back off a loss. I never thought, like, when you say that game 3 is a must win, you are saying that the Knicks can't handle any adversity. That as long as this goes perfect, as long as the Celtics never figure themselves out, as long as the Celtics miss every 3 they take, as long as the Celtics fold down the stretch, as long as they never hit any adversity in this series, the Knicks can possibly win. They've hit some adversity. They lost the game. They're still up 2-1 in the series. They're taking on the defending champs. Did we expect it to be easy? I still have faith in this team. I'm still looking forward to a much better performance tonight at MSG. Ben in Princeton. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Chris, how we doing?
Good, brother. Listen. How are you?
Oh, it was hard to watch that yesterday. Killed my weekend. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, celebrate Mother's Day today, but after that game, it was straight to bed. I don't drink or anything. It was straight to bed. Very disappointing.
Yeah, very
disappointing. Because I'm going to say this, Chris. You didn't say nothing wrong. This is the thing, Chris. You spoke a few times before. I'm rooting for this team for 48 years.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, how can you come out yesterday, even if you don't win? I understand that because you're going to get Boston's best shot.
Yep.
I knew that. Everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you come out with a city, with a building, inside and out, so electrified, ready to pop at a moment's notice, and they come out so fast. In the first quarter, they're down 16.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. Chris, no sense of life. Chris, no sense of life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. The Celtics hit every damn 3 they took. They were shooting 65% from 3. The Celtics hit every. They missed every three they took in the first two games. They hit every one they took in the third game. I mean, you can almost point it to that. And the Knicks couldn't find a basket. Like that's how they. And then the game just got out of hand.
But listen to this, the Knicks. I've never heard this stat yet. Now I'm not a big stat guy, but this stat was phenomenal. The Knicks were minus 45 points from the 3-point line in a game. My point to you is this: that a lot of them. Or wide open looks, which goes back to the initial thought process of, are we really focused on trying to win this game? Are we in this game? Right? Look, I'm not a coach. I'm not an NBA ball player. But there comes a point in the game when you're getting lollymopped up and down the court that you got to sit down and say, you know what? I'm not letting Tatum. I'm not letting Pritchard. Forget about Tatum. Pitch it. The sixth man of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm not letting them clear space on me with the elbow and the push off and get his look and get his shot. You've got to get physical with him. The Knicks didn't respond. They didn't show me none of that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree with you. Today, we're going to get a performance that's going to be better than Saturday.
Well, of course.
But is it enough to win it and not go back 2-2 to Boston? That's my concern.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, that's the question.
Another point is, we do need to be alarmed at one thing. We played three games, and in three games, we've been down 20+.
Yeah, it can't happen again.
Each game.
Yeah, it can't happen again. Totally agree.
So an adjustment has to be made. But, Chris, I love your energy.
Thank you.
I love what you bring. Honestly, Tip should hire you to go give the pep talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they need a pep talk, and I appreciate the call, Ben. Like, I don't think they need a pep talk. They had a bad game. And the effort was ugly to start, and then once it gets out, again, the Boston Celtics came out and took that game that they needed. They're the champs. Look at these games across the league. Like, how many, I mean, we've had long series. There have been games that are blowouts. The Knicks battled back. I know we don't want to, like, when you mentioned they were down 20 in every game, I understand that. They battled back. They battled back, and they were physical, and they didn't give up as many open looks. And the Celtics took a lot of bad shots. Like, people want to say open looks. Yeah, I was listening to Lori's interview before. Like, yeah, okay, open looks. What's an open look from six? You know, from 5 feet behind the 3-point line, taking a terrible shot. Like, they took a ton of terrible shots. The shots all went in. They hit all their threes. We know that the Celtic team, if they're going to shoot, I can promise you this, the Knicks can come out with the best effort you've ever seen. The Knicks could match the energy of every fan in that building. Brunson can come out and have one of his best performances you've ever seen. Everything can go right for the New York Knicks. If the Celtics shoot 65% from three, you're losing. Plain and simple. If the Celtics shoot 65% from three, you're losing. There's no two ways around it. We could talk anything else. We can get into Tibbs' decisions. We can get into Karl Anthony Towns. We can get into the 7 points OG Anunoby has scored in the last two games. We can get into whatever you want to get into. If they come out and shoot 65% from three, the Knicks are going to lose because they take too many, and they have too many guys who can shoot. And I do think that they were worse defensively guarding the perimeter. No doubt about it. They absolutely were than they were in games 1 and 2. But 65% ain't easy. I mean, they end up shooting 50, but when the game was in the balance in the first half when they were pulling away, they hit every three they took. They hit every three they took. At one point, it was like 10 of 12. They came out with an urgency, played their best game of the series, and took game number three. Now it's up to the Knicks to bounce back. And I'm disappointed in the effort they had. This is the game they have to show it. And we'll find out. We will find out. And offensively, they got to find a way to get some buckets early on, get somebody hot. I think I said it going into game three. I certainly mean it now. I want Brunson taking some shots early on in this game. I want Brunson getting into a rhythm offensively early on in this game. They have got to find a way to score. They scored 20 points. In the first half, in the first quarter, 20. Like, that's just not good enough to keep pace with the Celtics. It's just not good enough. They come out of these, even game number two, right? They have, after the OG Anunoby three to start the game that ends up getting taken away because he shot it after the 24-point second clock, like, they didn't have a basket for the first 6 minutes of the game. They've got to get more points quickly. They've got to get into a rhythm offensively. That's what I'm looking to see. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
G-Mag, how you doing, man?
What's up, brother? How are you? Good talking to you.
I'm doing all right. Appreciate it. So I think, you know, we're obviously talking worst-case scenario right now. I think that you got both sides of the spectrum going into Game 3 on Saturday. I think they found a way to piss off both. You got people like me who were saying it was, quote-unquote, a must-win for the sake of 3-0 versus 2-1, and people on your side that were like, you know, it's not entirely a must-win, but, you know, you lose by, like, 5 or 6. Obviously, Boston's a more desperate team. It happens. You just kind of got a rebound from it. The fact that they were lifeless from first whistle to last, I think now groups all of us into the fact that this is now a must-win game four. And you brought up the you know, kind of the notion of the subconscious thinking. I don't know what's stopping us from worrying that they're going to have the same thought process of, you know, kind of the where for Boston, it's obviously a need. They don't want to go down 3-1 only 13 times as the 3-1 comeback happened. Mm-hmm. Whereas for the Knicks, you know, God forbid they do lose, all of a sudden now, worst case scenario, it's a best of three. I mean, what's stopping them from looking at game four the same way they looked at game three, where now kind of the whole fan base is, you know, in lockstep that game four is a must win, where game three we were kind of,
No, you got it. You got to take one of these two. You can't have the series tied. I think they understand that this is a different thing now. I think they understand though. I don't know how they could not understand that. But yeah, I mean, how do we expect it? Because they got to come out with the and not only that, forget whether or not they have the same feeling we do about the importance of this game. They just got their ass kicked. Like if they're not kind of group, forget whether or not you need game number four. Because I think you can make the case, right? They won the first two games in Boston. Now, yes, they had to do it in heroic fashion, but they've been a great road team. They've won 5 consecutive road games. They took the first two games in Boston. You can make a case that this series isn't over if they lose this game. You can make a case that it's more important to the Celtics not to fall behind 3-1 than it is for the Knicks not to be tied at 2. You can make that case, right? I think it's equally important, but we can make that case. And even if the Knicks buy into that subconsciously, if they're the kind of team that we think can win this series, if they're the kind of team that they have shown at the so far this postseason, they're just the kind of team that doesn't accept getting their ass kicked like that. Like, if you can't come back with a better effort after getting embarrassed, forget the dynamics of the series. Like, they've got to come out after getting their ass kicked in that manner in a much more... And I don't think Brunson would have been as open about the subconscious, like, mindset if he felt that were either possible or could be explained away the same way in game number four. I think he recognized... Like, he wouldn't have said... Like the idea of their intensity and subconsciously, like this, I don't think he would have admitted that if he felt there was any way, or he's aware that they're going to fix it. Like, I think you got to come out. There's no way they're going to treat this game the same way. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get their ass kicked or blown out. That's on the table. But I don't think you'll see the same. And again, we say the intensity and all that stuff. And I don't disagree. I think the intensity wasn't there. But again, they can't hit a shot, and the Celtics are hitting every three. It's like when a baseball team doesn't score runs. It's easy to say, look at this lifeless bunch. Well, they're getting dominated, or they're not hitting, or you know, they hit two line drives and both were snagged by infielders. So like it killed a rally. Like they came out, didn't hit a freaking shot, and the Celtics didn't miss a shot. And I do think the intensity was an issue, but that can explain it as well.
They've been shooting worse than Boston if you look at it in terms of, like, you know, obviously Boston was shooting at a 50% clip compared to 25% the first two. The only reason I think we talk about Boston compared to us is we have more of a multifaceted scheme. Their whole offense is behind the arc.
Yep.
And I think the one thing, though, that scares me is if you want to play devil's advocate, you look at the two games we won. If you look at it on paper, you could say more so that if you want to use the old, we didn't win those games. It was more so Boston lost them because they shot so bad.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at going off of game three, you know, we didn't see that sample size ass kicking once in the Detroit series. The only game that was semi-uncompetitive at any point was game one.
Yeah.
The final score was closer than it actually was. You brought up the 21-0. The other 5 games were all nail biters where we saw the hero ball. And obviously game two, we only won because of hero ball. Game three was kind of, it took this long to have that blowout where fourth quarter you saw, you know, starters on the bench. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Obviously, you said it. I'm in lockstep with you. This is I was saying game three was a must win. So obviously here you can't make this a best of three with one of the best teams in the league.
No, of course. The time, no, thank you, Ross. Like, look, yeah. Can the Knicks lose this series? Yes, of course they can. Heading into game three, they could have lost this series. Like, they're the Boston Celtics. They're defending champs. The difference is now it's heartbreak. Now it's a series the Knicks can't lose. You're up 2-0. You steal those two games in Boston, it's a heartbreaking loss. Heartbreak wasn't on the table heading in. I was talking about this on Saturday. Heartbreak really wasn't on the table after listening to Joe on Saturday afternoon, morning, afternoon. And him talking about, you know, all the terrible losses the Knicks have had throughout their history and how disgusted he would be if they lose this series. Yeah, heading in, the Celtics are so much better. The Celtics kicked their ass over the regular season. The Celtics are defending champs. Most people felt that the Knicks didn't really have a chance. Almost everyone felt the Knicks really didn't have a chance. And if the Knicks, you know, lost a gentleman's sweep in five and got their ass kicked, everybody said, you know, it sucks. There's no such thing as house money. You got to win these series when you're in them. But they're just not good enough. And the conversation would have been, how can they get better and be, and we'd be complaining about the Karl Anthony Towns trade. We'd be complaining about the Mikal Bridges trade. We'd be talking about how do they get good enough to even compete with the Boston Celtics. That was the worst case scenario heading into the series. The worst case scenario was they're not even close to good enough. They've traded away all their first round picks. How do they get better? Now what's on the table is, I can't believe they did it to us again. I can't believe they made us believe. I can't believe we were up 2-0 and we blew this series. Now it's devastation. Before it would have been frustration. Now it's devastation. And so everyone's afraid of it. And game three gave you everything you needed to feed into that. Totally agree. I'm just not there yet. I believe in the group. You can't come, like, you can't have it both ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be all hyped up after how they performed in the second half and overtimes in game number 1 and 2 and then have one, like, brutal loss and then just be like, well, listen, I'm very concerned about this. They didn't come out. But on the road against the defending champs, down 20 points in the third quarter, they got off the deck and didn't just make a game of it, they won it. You can't go goo-goo gaga over those two things, over those two performances, and then suddenly go, well, now, you know. Bleh. You knew they have no chance. Like, why? Why? They've got to get at some point in this series, I said this a lot too, at some point, the Knicks were going to play a very good basketball game. Like, at some point, they're going to find themselves and have an offensive game. They need that to be tonight. They have yet to do that. They haven't played well offensively except for the fourth quarters of these games at all. They have not found their offensive rhythm at all. Brunson really hasn't gone off at all. They have to find a way to get one of these big-time offensive performances, stay in the game, because despite the fact, like, we know that they fall behind 20, right? We get that. We also know that if the game's in the balance, the Knicks have the advantage. And the Celtics know that too. So as long as they can keep it close, and I do think they're good enough to keep this game close, I don't think the Celtics, while I don't expect them to hit 20% of their threes, I also don't expect them to hit 70%. They're probably going to fall somewhere in the middle in this game, and hopefully the Knicks can keep up offensively and keep this game close, and we'll see how Karl Anthony Towns is with his finger. I'm looking at OG Anunoby, too. Like, I need better from – I know he's focused on defense. He's got to get better offensively. They got to get him to the rim. They got to get him hitting corner threes. Like, 7 points in 2 games is unacceptable from OG Anunoby. Like, they have got to find – and I know this game gets out of hand, and then it almost doesn't matter, but he's got to get his offensive game together. Kenny in Franklin Square. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good, good. So I've been a long-time Knicks fan, and this time around, I've just been trying to keep calm and I think us as Knicks fan, also the hype, the energy is great. But you got to understand the mental toll these guys just took. They went into TD Garden, took two and fourth quarter games. There must have been some type of mental exhaustion they were facing in this game. And then to be there with everybody expecting you to, you know, have this big game and go up 3-0, I feel like they had a lot of pressure, and you could tell how they played. They were deflated.
Yeah, I mean, the they were deflated. But you say,
but do you think it had to do with the mental, you know, not that they were nervous for the moment, just the mental capacity that it took to come back those two fourth quarters?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that's a fair point, that it took so much from them both mentally and physically to come back into those games that there was a natural letdown.
Think of the dopamine rush after winning those games, you know, to come down from that. And then now you got to come to this New York crowd who is ready to burn down the bridges and take down everyone. I think it was just, you got to give these guys a day to relax today, or, you know, get their mind together. And I think we got to give them a fair shot as fans and not get that nervous energy, you know?
No, well, listen, a couple of things with your call, and thank you for the point, Ken. And I hear what you're saying. That sounds like excuse making for the Knicks. This is the playoffs. Right, yeah, I understand that. The physical and mental toll it takes to pull that off and come back. Yeah, I get all that. But that's no excuse for how they came out and performed in game number three. I'm sorry, I can't. That's straight up excuse making. And I won't make excuses for them. Now, having said that, your point at the end about giving them a chance, yeah, I think any Knick fan right now that is overly concerned, or now look, they're playing the Boston Celtics. So any Knick fan who thinks they could lose the series, welcome to the rest of the country. The rest of the country, the sports books still had the Celtics as the favorite after game number two. Everybody believes that the Celtics are going to come back and win this series. Everybody. So the idea that any Knick fan is like, yeah, all right, part of you should feel that way, but I'm sorry, any Knick fan that is overly pissed off at them, or any Knick fan that is now just, hey, this series is over, did you expect them to sweep? Like, what did we expect? Would you feel that much better if they just split on the road and won the game at home on game three? What's the difference? They're up 2-1 with a game at home tonight, with the home crowd going to be electric, and this Knick team has got to show up in a better wet manner than they've showed up in any game so far this series at home. This playoffs, rather. So, like, but the idea that, well, we got to give them a chance, we've got to be fair to them. I'm ready to go. Tonight's a big game. I'm pumped. This series isn't over. I'm not overly pessimistic about one loss. What's the difference? By 30 points? By 1 point? I don't care. They lost one game. They've played three. Somebody had to lose one. Somebody had to win two if it wasn't going to be 3-0. They've played three games, and the Knicks have won two. I'm not crying in my cereal. I'm not hanging my head because they got blown out. I'm giving this Knick team an opportunity to show me who they are. I believe in them. I trust them for how they've handled things. I trust them to battle back. They were down 20 points in back-to-back games. So the momentum switched a little bit. Oh, great. Oh, God. How will they ever recover from a momentum switch? Oh, my God. Now, you know, the Celtics found themselves. Okay. Did we really think the Celtics were going to play an awful game and miss every three they took for the entire series? Like, now they have to battle back and show they are. They played a miserable game number three. They have to show up for game number four. That's it. And if the game is close, the pressure is still on the Boston Celtics. And I said this on Saturday. Yeah, the momentum switches and the pressure switches. And sure, now there's pressure on the Knicks where there really wasn't in game number three. That's the whole point. Like, oh, the pressure switches now. Well, that's exactly right. The pressure was all on the Boston Celtics for game number three. They had to win that game. The Knicks didn't. Now they both have to win this game. But the pressure is always on Boston. There is no alleviating pressure for them. They have to win this series. The Knicks, the pressure is now mounted back on them. After those first two games, pressure was off for game number three, and it showed. And now the momentum has changed, and the pressure is on the Knicks. And there was added pressure to the Knicks by winning game number two and creating an atmosphere of they need to win this series. But it doesn't change for Boston. The pressure is there for Boston. They can't lose this series, plain and simple. There's pressure tonight to not fall behind 3-1. And if the game is close at the end of this game, the same pressure that had them out of sorts and missing every damn shot they took in the first two games will be right back. If this is a one-point game, a two-point game with 3 minutes left, the same pressure that existed for the Boston Celtics in games number one and two at the end of the game, and the same confidence that the Knicks have had this entire postseason at the end of these games will be there. Get me there, and I trust this Knicks team to get a victory. They just got to get there.